Revelation chapter 10, and I'm going to hit a lot of Bible verses, so I brought some Bibles in. So if you didn't bring your Bible, go ahead and grab one of these Bibles so you can look at these scriptures for yourself. I think there's something about that, just looking at it yourself. And if we run out of those, there's more in the shelves out there, and I picked the New King James because that's what I'm giving this message out of, is New King James. And I just encourage you to walk around with your Bible. Just carry it around with you. Like if you are used to using your Bible on your phone, that's good, but the words are even better. So just get used to walking around with your Bible, just putting it in your backpack or opening it up on your desk at home and just reading randomly out of it. Because these words, when they get in us, it's transformative. So, and if you have like the actual book instead of like your phone, you can like write in the margins, and that's kind of cool. Like when somebody preaches a message and they're bringing up a point, you can like make a note in your margin. Just mark up your Bibles. I just encourage you to mark them up. And if you're not sure, like maybe you don't have like your own Bible for yourself, maybe you're just using your family Bible or something, the one I got Josiah, I just recommend, if you want a recommendation, I got him the New King James, what's it called?
Spirit-filled life Bible,
and it has notes in there by Jack Hayford, who's an awesome pastor. And so sometimes, you know, if you read a Bible verse, you're like, I wonder what that means. You go down to the note part, and Jack Hayford will probably give you a little commentary to help out. So if you don't have your own, I encourage you to buy one of those. Those are awesome. And really start looking over Bible passages because it's so transformative. All right, let's pray. Lord, I just come before you even now, God, and we just ask you, God, for your anointing right now.
Yes.
Lord, I want to ask you, God, that just what I speak would be made clear. It would be clear, God. I ask you for that, that you would be speaking through me. Because, Lord, I have nothing, but I just ask you for your anointing, your presence, that you would make your word speak with clarity into the hearts of each person, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, it's okay if you don't understand everything I'm talking about tonight. I'm just hoping you can grab whatever you can grab from it, you know, and then go home and read these Bible passages again and ask the Lord, what does this mean? What was she talking about? Because I'm going to hit some chapters here that maybe you haven't read or maybe you haven't heard preached. And so it could be new. And I'm going to start in Revelation chapter 10. That's the main text. I'm going out of Revelation chapter 10. Revelation is the very last book. So go to the end of the Bible and find chapter 10. Dion, my husband back here in the back, if you don't know him yet, he's going to be going into how many weeks?
10-week
study on the end times. And so this will be kind of an introduction to that, I hope, because I'm just jumping right into chapter 10. So I hope this might whet your appetite to come and get more from Pastor Dan back there. So, okay, Revelation chapter 10. Josiah, would you come up and just read Revelation 10?
Yep. Do you want me to read it on the mic?
Yeah, on the mic, because I'm recording. And I have it up here, so you can just, your voice is nice and loud and booming, so. And you don't want me to read all of this, so.
The whole thing?
Yeah, just, it's just right here.
Okay.
Yeah, got it. Oops, lost your voice, sorry.
Yeah.
I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings.
Thank you. Awesome. Okay, so that's the main scripture I'm going out of. And Daniel in the Old Testament is kind of a mini book of Revelation in the Old Testament. When you read the book of Daniel, you get a lot of end times things that are going to happen. And so when you start reading these kind of side by side, that opens it up a lot. So if you look at Daniel chapter 12, so now turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel's like in the middle. You might have to look in the table of contents and get like, if somebody gets a page number, just call it out. It's a Bible that name. Daniel chapter 12. So what I'm bringing up Daniel 12 because there's some things parallel here with Revelation chapter 10. So see if you can pick out some things that sound almost. What's that?
Daniel chapter 12.
Yeah, Daniel.
606.
606. Page 606. Daniel chapter 12. As we read this chapter, be looking for things that sound the same as the chapter Josiah just read. All right, I'll read this one. Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Okay, can anybody pick out a couple things from Revelation chapter 10 and Daniel chapter 12 that sound like the same? So you can flip back and forth a little bit if you want. Tell me if you find a couple parallel things.
The mighty angel and Michael.
The mighty angel and Michael, yeah, because Revelation 10 said, I saw a mighty angel coming down from heaven. Michael is the archangel. Paula.
Both reference the sealed book in verse 4, chapter 12, and verse 4 in chapter
10. Right.
Oh, I have one. So,
and sealed book, yeah. Yep.
Revelation 10:5, there's the angel on the sea of land raising up his hand to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daniel 12, 7 has the angel or the man clothed in linen lifting his hands up to heaven. And he's above the waters of the river.
Right, but in both of them it says he lifted up his hand and he swore by him who lives forever and ever. Right? Both passages say that. It's almost like they're seeing the same thing. Anything else? I think Paula brought this one out. Seal up the things, right? Both of them say the words are to be sealed up until the time of the end, right? Revelation 10. Okay, Revelation 10 was written about 90 AD after the Lord, right? Resurrected and everything. John, the apostle, wrote it. Daniel was written like 500 BC. So just gives you, you know, something to think about. Both of them say, you know, seal this up and don't talk about it until the end, right? It's very interesting. If you look at Revelation chapter 22, turn to Revelation 22, verse 10. I know you're going to be jumping out all over these scriptures, so that's why I want everyone to have a Bible. Revelation 22, 10. Here's like the opposite. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. So Revelation 22:10, at that point, there's no more sealing up the words, right? It's time for him. It's time for this mystery to be revealed. So that's at the very end of the book of Revelation. So, and verse 11 is parallel to Daniel chapter 12. Remember what it says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Look at Revelation 22:11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. So, it's another parallel. Okay, so, here's the point I want to make. Revelation chapter 10, right? Revelation 10 is, this is the angel that comes down, is one who's about to blow the seventh trumpet, okay? So in the book of Revelation, we have 21 judgments. You have seven that are the seals, those get opened. Seven that are the trumpets, they get blasted, and seven that are the bowls of wrath, okay? They get poured out. So you have seven, 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 right? So the seventh trumpet is interesting. That's an interesting one because it's the last trumpet, right? The only series of trumpets in the Bible are the ones in the book of Revelation, okay? So now turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 51. We're going to talk about the last trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. If anybody gets it, yell out the page number.
1 Corinthians 15, 51.
Okay, so 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's read it again. Super important. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay, so parallel that verse to one of the verses we read. I think it was in Daniel. So powerful, guys. We've got to get around these scriptures a little bit.
Daniel 12:10.
I'm looking for, okay, yeah, that one, but also verse 13. No, not that one.
11 and 12, the day's discrepancy.
I'm looking for the one that's talking about the resurrection. Oh. Yes. That's it, 12:2. And many of those who sleep, okay, here's a parallel, in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Okay? That's going to happen at the last trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise. We who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air. So the other verse on the rapture, what we call the rapture, is out of Thessalonians, which is another one. We're not going to go there tonight. But so this seventh trumpet is like... it's important, right? The seventh trumpet, there's a lot that goes on. The dead in Christ rise. We who are alive will be caught up together with the Lord to meet him in the air. Okay? So I know there's different theological views on when the rapture takes place. And there's a lot of debate. But I feel like scripture supports the view that the rapture happens at this last trumpet. And so in order to come up with a different view, you have to explain away the last trumpet as being some other trumpet than the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelation. And since that's the only series of trumpets that we have in Scripture, I think it fits. I think it fits the best that the rapture happens at the seventh trumpet. So, all right, so back to Revelation chapter 10. All right, so there's this whole point about sealing up the words, right, of this mystery and unveiling the words at the end of the age, okay? So we can make a case, and I'm not going to go fully into this tonight. Maybe Dan will go into this when he goes on a series of talks, but We can make the case that we're living in the last days. And there's a lot that points to that. You know, one really big point that we're living in the last days is the nation of Israel. So for 2,000 years, the nation of Israel has not been a nation. They've been dispersed, right? They got dispersed when, in the first century, in 70 AD, Governor Titus, Roman governor, came in and burned down the temple to the ground, completely decimated the city, and Jews were dispersed all over the world. Right up until 1948, after the Holocaust, President Truman, yes, yay for President Truman, helped, along with other world leaders, to establish the nation of Israel to be a nation again after 2,000 years. Never in the history of mankind has there ever been anything like this, where a nation is decimated, wiped out, other people are dispersed, and they come back 2,000 years later to become a nation, have their ancient language of Hebrew, and flourish in their ancient land. Right? That is a huge Bible prophecy come true. Massive. So that in and of itself, by itself, indicates we're living in the last days. We're living in this time when we're going to see these Bible scriptures come to pass. There's a lot of other signs as well, which I'm also not going to go into right now. But we can make the case that we're living in the last days. So with that, look at Revelation chapter 10 again. Says, verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Okay, so I want to try to unpack, what is this mystery? What are these words that were sealed up? And what are these words that are now revealed at the last times? And I believe we're living in the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Okay, I don't think we've heard the first trumpet yet, but we're living in the days, right? The end times. And so these things are going to start to come to pass. And so it's time for those, that mystery, that great end time mystery, right, to be revealed to us, right? And I think it is revealed. I don't think it's so mysterious. It is, I think it has to do with the cross of Christ. And so the biggest mystery that's ever happened in all of creation, in all of mankind, in the entire history of mankind, is that God would become human, be born of a virgin, live for 33 years perfectly, right? He's the God-man. He's God becoming human, die on a cross because he loves us so much and wants all of us saved from our sin, right? Because we've all been separated from Christ because of our sin. So what he did on the cross, right, redeemed us to him so that we can be his again, so that we can live with him forever and ever in this love, state of love, this eternal state of love, okay? So this is a massive mystery, right? And people who are not born again yet, right, it doesn't make sense to them. Really, right? Somehow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, quickens our spirit. And so when we hear the gospel message and we respond to it, we have understanding via the Holy Spirit. But to the people who are perishing, which you know people who really aren't, don't know the Lord at all, you tell them some of this stuff out of the Bible and they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know? Like it's so, it doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense to them. But to we who are alive in Christ, it begins to make more and more sense, right? As we grow in the Lord, we begin to unpack these mysteries. So this mystery has to do with the cross of Christ, right? And so specifically the mystery at the end of the age, right? Our day, in the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Okay, remember all those parts about eating, the book, okay? And there's different places in scripture, like Ezekiel chapter 1, where he's like told by this angel, eat the book, eat the scroll, you know? And here's another one where it's like, eat the book. And in both cases, it's like the book is sweet in your mouth, but bitter in your stomach. Okay, so what, does anyone have an idea what that is talking about? What are we eating and why is it sweet and bitter? Does anyone have a guess? Look at some of these passages, right? In Ezekiel, like he's eating the scroll, and then it's like the word of God, he's eating it, and he has a message to give out. When he gives out the message, he comes under persecution, right? So there's a bitterness to it. So when we eat the scroll, when we receive the word of God into us, we start reading the Bible, we start reading the book of Revelation in particular, there is a sweetness to it because the Lord is in it. And in fact, at the beginning of the book of Revelation, it says anyone who reads this book is going to receive a blessing. It's the only book in the Bible where it has that promise. So the Lord really wants us to be reading the book of Revelation. Really, really wants us to be reading it. It's going to be sweet to us. We're going to engage with God. Why? Revelation is not about bad things coming to the earth. Revelation is about the man Christ Jesus and what an amazing leader he is and how he's going to reveal himself. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, to all of history, to all the people. He's going to unpack himself, and everyone's going to go, whoa, he is God. And so it's going to bring, for those who know him, it will be the greatest day ever, because we'll see him with our own eyes. We'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be caught up together with him to live with him forever. To those who don't know him, it will be a terrible day. So, okay, let me see if I can wrap this up a little bit. I'm trying not to get too complicated. Okay, eating the scroll for us is similar to what Jesus had to do when he drank the cup. Okay, what I mean by drinking the cup. Remember he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed before the cross? And he's like, Lord, can this cup pass from me? Do I have to drink this cup? And then he would say, not as I will, but as you will. Three times he prayed that. Lord, do I have to drink this cup? What's he talking about? The cup of the wrath of God, like he's going to go through the cross. He's got to drink the cup, right? And he keeps having to submit his own will to the will of the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. Okay, there is a sweetness and a bitterness to this because Jesus came to die. This is the very reason why he came. He came to die on the cross. This was his passion. That's why we call it the passion. Passion of Christ. He loved us so much that this is what he chose to do. He wasn't like a victim. He could have got off the cross at any time because he's God. But he decided, no, I'm staying up here. And not only that, I'm going to stay up here and suffer for 6 hours. He could have got off. He could have wiped those people out in a minute. But instead of being angry with them, he loved them. He's like, this is why I came. I came to save these people, even my enemies. And so we pray from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, right? So there's a sweetness and a bitterness, right, to the cross. The sweetness is he's going to have us forever and ever, right? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. It's so sweet, but it was bitter, right? It's very bitter. So for us, when it's talked about eating the scroll, that's similar to drinking the cup. Okay, so for us in the church, which is also called the Bride of Christ, we eat the scroll. So what's happening at the end of the age that is going to be, we touched on it in a couple of these passages that we read. Remember how it gets to the end and it said, there will be a time of trouble such as never been in the history of the whole earth, right? They call that the tribulation. There's a 7-year tribulation period and a 3.5-year great tribulation period, right? Eating the book, okay? For the church, our cross is going to be that, those years. Because I believe the church is going to be here all the way till the 7th trumpet. So when we eat the book, we are eating, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. You know, there is like this, there is such a sweetness, because when we share in the cross of Christ through persecution, through suffering, there's martyrs. Even today, there is more martyrs in the Christian world than there ever has been in all the history of mankind. Right now, we have more martyrs than ever before, even before the first century when we had 300 years of martyrdom. Okay, right now, in our day, people are getting martyred for being Christians in dramatic numbers, okay? So we're going to come under some persecution in these last days, and people are getting martyred and will get martyred. You know, even in our nation, we will see it. And so when we eat the scroll, we're saying yes to Jesus no matter what. You know, when we eat the scroll, we say, Lord, not my will be done, but yours. You know, when we eat the scroll, we're saying, Lord, I want to follow you to the end. I want to be faithful to you to the end, no matter what that means. Even if that means coming under persecution, suffering, and even martyrdom. I want to follow you to the end. So when we're eating the scroll, that's like drinking the cup. So in the last days, the church, big, the Bride of Christ, will be eating the scroll. And our cross will be this time of tribulation at the end of the age. Okay, so what happens? Here's the really awesome thing that happens during this tribulation time. We read it in a few verses. Remember how some are going to become more evil and stay in their wickedness, but others are going to become purified, refined, righteous, and more righteous and holy, right? So we will see the polarization get more dramatic. And that's why the end time judgments increase in measure. Okay, so the seals, trumpets, and bowls, they're all increasing in severity, right? Why does the Lord do that? Okay, the Lord is so kind and loves people so much and wants to save everyone so much that he will use the least severe means of circumstances or judgments to bring about the greatest harvest, the greatest number of people getting saved without violating their free will. That's what this book is about. So this is the least severe means. Why? Well, when people, okay, so every time you hear like an anointed message, meaning the speaker is anointed with the Holy Spirit, right? Speaking a word to you. Every time we hear a message that is anointed, power of God is on it, right? And the word of God, every time it's even read, it's anointed. We're either moving one step closer to God or we're moving one step away, depending on our response. So it might just be infinitesimal, you know? But every time we're under the word of God, that government, that anointing, we're either moving toward or away, okay? There's no neutral. So as we are getting, that's why it gets more and more. The judgments have to increase in severity because people are getting more and more set in their evil mindsets and ways, right? Where the only thing that could shake them out of that is perhaps a more severe shaking. And so in the book of Hebrews, it says, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Why? So that the things that can't be shaken will remain, right? Our faith will not be shaken if we have our faith in Jesus. So, all that to say that during the 7-year tribulation, right, when we're coming under some persecution and some, we ate the scroll and we're like, I'm going to be faithful to the end, Lord. I'm eating the scroll, right? And we're giving ourselves to the Lord. When we are going through that time, we are increasing in the most dramatic intimacy with the Lord that's possible on the earth. Okay, so that's why at the very end of the book, Revelation chapter 2, it says the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So together, so the book of Revelation, right? The church is known as, the church knows herself as his bride. All the way, like throughout history, the church hasn't known herself as a bride. We've known ourselves in other ways. You know, we're the army of the Lord. We're, you know, the people of God. We're the children of God. There's different ways we can know ourselves, right? At the end, we know, we identify ourselves as his bride, right? The bride of Christ. That's the most intimate relationship you can have, right? A bride to a husband. And that's how we're known at the end of all this. The bride, okay? So when we go through the purification process, and we submit to the Lord in love, and we keep saying yes to him, and maybe we go through stuff. He's refining us and making us pure gold, like holy pure gold, and we're going to be so infused with his love that it will be our greatest joy to suffer for him. We'll be so infused with him that it will be like the apostles, you know, after Jesus died and rose from the dead, and they got understanding of what was coming for them, because the apostles all died as martyrs except for John, but they tried to martyr him, but they couldn't kill him because the Lord kept protecting him. But the apostles themselves got a revelation of this, and it was their greatest joy to die the way Jesus died. In fact, Peter said, I'm not worthy to die the same way, turn me upside down. And, you know, Andrew, Peter's brother, this is not in the Bible, this is in just historical documents that were passed down that may or may not be true, but probably are. But Andrew, what went down in history as saying that when they were taking him to the cross, they nailed him to a cross, and he hugged the cross, and he said, I've longed for and looked forward to this happy day. That's what Andrew said. And then as he was dying for 2 days on the cross, it took 2 days for him to die, he preached the gospel to anybody who would listen from the cross. So this was their greatest joy. You know, like they got the love of God in them infused at the highest level, so that martyrdom was something that they looked forward to. That's hard for us to imagine because we're not there yet, right? We're just like, no, suffering, I don't want it, you know, away. But the reason why I'm talking about this is because this is what the book says, you know? And so we got to get around this a little bit and pray into it and ask the Lord to help us to begin to get us in Christ more and more, have the mind of Christ and be moving forward in love, in revelation of his love, so that these things aren't scary to us anymore. They just become, we become dead to everything else. And Josiah sang in that first song, they sang, you know, he's just like, earth has no hold on me anymore, no treasures, nothing. The only thing that means anything to me is Jesus. You know, it's basically what that verse was that he was singing. It's like, treasure has no hold. Everything I want is in you, Christ. Everything I want is in you. So let me wrap this up. Sorry, I'm going on too long. But The mystery of the cross of Christ being made perfect and a complete work in our soul, when we get fully conformed and transformed into Christ in us through the world. Like, Christ wants to transform us so much that he's living his life again through us, right? That's when the mystery becomes finished. It becomes finished. Remember on the cross when Jesus said, "It is finished"? It becomes finished in us when we become fully conformed and transformed in him. We will also have an "it is finished," right? When it is finished in the bride of Christ, coming through the tribulation, she gets to the end and she's like purified, white, holy. It says the bride has made herself ready, right? And there's a scripture in there that says everything's been made complete. It is finished. So she will come through this and get to the place like the cross where it is finished. And when that "it is finished" happens in the church, the Lord comes. Rapture. Seventh trumpet. In the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, right? We who are alive and those who are dead in Christ will rise up. And it's going to be, that's when it's fully, fully complete in the bride. It'll be an "it is finished" moment. And at that moment, we're going up. And so it's a glorious, 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 exciting thing to think about, pray into. And so even now, as these days approach, okay, and our response to the Lord is, we want to look up and see that our redemption draws near. Like, our response needs to be yes to him, like, over and over and over. So we're moving forward infinitesimally every day, right? We're moving toward Christ so we can get ready for that day. Okay, I think that's it. Let's close that up in prayer, and then I'll let you guys ask questions if you have a question or something. But as we move forward into more troubled times, and we're already seeing trouble in our nation a little bit here and there, we need the Lord. He's the only answer to anything. We need more of Christ, you know? We need prayer rooms that go around the clock all the time so that people can come in and out of the place of prayer and have a praying lifestyle, okay? Like, what we do in here is super important, but it needs to be around the clock. It needs to be open all the time, right? And these need to be global. They are global, but they need to go way more prolific, way, way more. We need to get in a praying lifestyle. Super important to be in a praying lifestyle. So, Lord, I just thank you for each person here, Lord. And I know it's just, there's a lot in that message. So, God, I just pray that you would take what I said and apply it to the hearts, Lord. Apply it to each person's heart as much as they were able to assimilate, Lord. And I just pray that each person can move one step closer to you, even now, God, and say yes to you. Just keep saying yes to you, whatever that looks like. Just keep saying, "Not my will, but yours be done, Lord." Yes to you, over and over and over. Yes, yes, yes. And Lord, you will take care of us, Lord, and there will be great joy, even in times of persecution. And in times of persecution, we will feel perhaps our greatest joy, because the Lord has a way of pouring out during those times in extraordinary ways. So Lord, we have extraordinary days coming that we can look forward to. We don't have to be afraid. We can look forward to this time because you're going to extraordinarily pour out your Spirit. That's what the book of Acts says. And all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's your promise, Lord. So even as the increase in judgments come, you say, "All who call upon me will get saved." Every single person who calls upon me, like the thief on the cross, his cry of distress saved him. Every single person who cries out to you will get saved.
Thank you. Gracious.
And Lord, even our cries of distress to you, Lord, if we have a cry of distress, you hear those cries. you hear them so clearly. Now thank you, Lord. Israel, this up, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.